to part two. Carmen's hit his microphone stand. He's a professional podcaster. This is part two of the Golden Hour. If you've accidentally come here first, make sure you go back and listen to part one, where we talk about many, many things. And then after you have listened to that, you can come back here to part two, and we're going to talk about the rest of the things. But first, we're going to start with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
We have two people in Shondaland today.
I'm going to go real daring on this one. It's the two drunk dudes right off the bat. Boom.
It is.
Got it. Nailed it.
Neither one of those people.
Oh. Okay. Okay, let's go opposite end. Let's go obscure. Is it the abdominal patient at the last scene of the episode that Meredith takes in?
It's not.
That would have been funny. Is it Nathan or his parents?
No.
What the hell? Is it Oliver?
No.
Okay. All right. Is it William?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I feel like I actually do remember him. Is he in Scandal?
And Private Practice.
And Private Practice. Okay. He also was in Scrubs. All right. And, oh, is it the shitty girlfriend?
Ugh, no. She sucks. Is it
the migraine guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so it's William and Mitch.
William and Mitch. Okay.
So Josh Randall, who plays William, is in one episode of Scandal, one episode of Private Practice, and 46 episodes of Station 19.
Wow.
Not as
so this guy's
person.
A main character.
Yeah. Apparently. Okay. I don't know. I haven't watched it.
So can you do me a favor? Can you go into IMDb for this episode and go to the girlfriend? I feel like I know her from somewhere.
Okay. Whilst I do that, I will tell you that Mitch Turner is played by Jeffrey Dunbas, and he was in two episodes of Private Practice. So.
Wait. Oh, that was the other guy.
Mitch, the migraine guy.
Okay.
He was in two episodes of Private Practice.
Okay.
Did you see the episodes of Private Practice that had April in them?
No.
Oh. She's in that.
Spoiler alert.
I already would have told you that from Shondaland.
Oh. Yeah, no, I gotta be honest with you guys. I have literally not watched a single episode of Private Practice.
Yeah, you probably should.
Since the last time that I watched Private Practice.
We are probably going to need to... I think Addison's going to show back up at some point this season, so you might need to crank some of those out.
Okay. All right. You guys know how much I hate binge watching.
He's so bad at it.
It's because it's exhausting. It's
really
hard.
Not.
Binge watching is such hard work.
She was in four episodes of Scrubs.
Okay. What was her name?
Alex. JD Alex. Is helping Cox reach a 24-hour goal without losing one patient, but a woman slipped in the hospital. And Kelso demands JD give her personal attention. So she won't sue.
Yes. Okay. I remember Alex. Okay. I knew I recognized her from Scrubs. And the other guy was in Scrubs. William was in Scrubs.
Yeah. Now him, yeah. I'm pretty sure we did see it early on in Private Practice.
I think you might be right.
He went on a date with Addison, but he was a patient of Violet's.
Yay! Yes. Yes.
Do you remember why he was a patient of Violet's?
Because of a thing that happened. Let me look at my notes, actually. What? Oh, yeah. What was it?
He fucked
shoes?
Put a shoe in his butt. No, he put things in his butt when he was emotional.
That's right.
Yeah. Like you do.
So let's pick up where we left off. So the last episode ended that we were just talking about. Part one ended with Meredith and Christina talking about the godparent situation whilst looking at sweet little babes. And then Meredith had to go make the terrible phone call. Spoiler alert, Oliver Oliver dies. And
at
his
what
phone...
point upon meeting him did you realize he would die?
The second that this idiot said that he needs to go take his son to a basketball game, I said, this guy's dead. He's a goner. His kid will never get to go to the game with it. This kid now hates basketball because of his father's death.
Yeah, that was a bummer. I actually, so in our Discord, a lot of people said they love this episode. They said it's one of their favorites in the season. I skipped this episode a lot. Not because it's bad, but because it is very upsetting that to me that Oliver dies.
Well, here's the thing. I was like, okay, where... Because Meredith is at, she's like, it's, she sees something, it's small, and then like it progressively kind of morphs and she gets Teddy involved, all that. And also, sidebar, this was the thought I was going to finish. When Max answers the phone and she's like, I need to talk to your mommy, dead. I'm deceased. I can't deal with this
shit. Yeah, I hate, yeah. Also, because a lot of times we don't see them get like that upset when a patient dies. And like we rarely see Meredith get like teary eyed over that. So
yeah,
I think that's another reason that I'm like, I am just going to skip it because it's too sad.
It's very sad. So what was the question? What were we? Oh, so it's Meredith's like building it up into something, like something's going on. Yeah. She sees the scans and she's like, everything looks normal, but like it could be something, blah, blah, blah. Gets Teddy involved. The second they said that it was an aortic dissection, I'm like, okay, I've seen enough medical shows that when they have this going on, it's rough. It's you don't come back from that. Even when you catch it in the best circumstances, and even Teddy says at one point, Meredith's like, well, how many of these have you caught early enough? And she's like 40 to 50. And she's like, well, how many did you save? And she's like, fucking 3.
Yeah. The odds aren't good.
No.
I mean, what? And they don't have time to prep the patient. They don't have time to scrub in. Like, Teddy's fully operating in street clothes and heels, which is so badass.
That whole scene, like, I'm getting ahead of myself. That whole scene.
In the elevator.
The second when they get in the elevator and she says, you know, when we get off the elevator, it's go time. Like, and they're, like, putting their hair up. They're taking off their jewelry. They're, like, Meredith puts her scrub cap on. Like Teddy says, no scrubbing in. We get in there and we jump right on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this. And the music in the background was like, just, man, I had goosebumps the whole time watching that scene. Yeah. But that's how you know that shit's going down. And also, I wanted to really quickly, if you don't mind, I just Googled what causes an aortic dissection.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious. Do you mind if I just go over this real quick?
Go for it.
So there's a couple of causes. So chronic high blood pressure is one of that. There's a couple of these. Turner syndrome, which, okay, that's a genetic condition. That seems like more out of people's control. Get out of here, ad. I don't care about you. If I get more of these ads, I'm not going to keep going down this list. But you're really making this hard for me to teach people. Okay, the rest of these are, okay, this is more genetic thing. So a genetic pre-aortic... coarctation, coarctation. It's a narrowing of the aorta and your heart needs to work harder in order to, so basically it's all around high blood pressure.
Yeah.
And it just creates tiny little rips and then it shreds.
Yeah, I mean, if
your
heart is working overtime, basically, like working too hard or whatever. But yeah, it's a bummer. He definitely is like, oh, it's heartburn. And then 45 minutes later, he's dead. Not pleasant.
No. Was this one that you got to watch live?
Yeah.
Take me back. Take us back in time, Kelsey.
It's sad. I was just like, and then he's like, I bought my kid these tickets for his birthday. I'm like, well, he hates basketball. He hates his birthday. Also... maybe this is just me having like hyper anxiety, but I'm like, if Michael was in the hospital, I would go to the hospital. Not that, I mean, that me be, and I'm not saying that like going there saves the man. Like, obviously if he's going to die, he's going to die. Like there's not, if they don't catch it in time, then he will die, which is obviously what happens. So his wife being there doesn't like keep him alive. And I know that sometimes people live far away. They can't get to hospitals. People only have like certain modes of transportation. or if they don't want to bring the kid to the hospital. Like, there's a million reasons that she wouldn't have gone. But in my head, I'm like, I would so be at the hospital. Like, I can't imagine not being at the hospital. That is so stressful to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and what's crazy about this whole storyline is while this is going on, Teddy is on a date. Or she's going to go on a... I think it's a blind date, or they met online.
I think it's an online date, if I had to assume.
And the scene where William and Henry meet...
delightfully awkward.
...is just comedic writing genius.
Yeah.
When he goes... When William goes, "Are you one of Teddy's patients?" And he goes, "Something like that."
Yeah. Also, like, it's so funny. They try so hard to make Henry look sick. And I'm just like, that's just a very fit, attractive man. Like, he's just not ill.
Yeah. I got to go do a blood glucose test and they're taking one of my bodily fluids. Dude, you look great. Like,
yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, not everyone looks sick who is sick. I know that. But I feel like they are trying to make him look sick, and I don't feel like there's success. Because, like, if you think back to Denny, I'm like, I felt... And I do think with Denny, a lot of it was the fact that he was, like, bedbound. So when he did stand up, I was like, oh, you don't look as sick. Something about just the hospital gown and the bed makes you look sicker. But
yeah.
I remember, like, seeing him, like, standing upright in that white shirt one time, and I was like, damn!
Yeah. Mm. Oh, pardon my French.
Yeah. So, Denny, good times. Remember Denny?
I remember Denny. Yeah. Remember when he was a ghost?
Remember when Izzy was there?
Remember when Izzy was dead this whole time?
Remember George?
Remember George? George wasn't even real either. George, I think, is just an inception memory that that Grey's Anatomy created to implant in all of our brains.
There was a comment on the reel that I posted that was like, Callie should have ended up with George. And I was like, that is a hot take.
I liked them together. The beginning of their relationships built out of trauma and formed on trauma, just like that of Christina and Hunts, maybe should take a little bit more time. And the same with George and Callie. They needed more time. And also not to get married in what? Vegas, right?
I mean, get married in Vegas if it's what you want to do. But, like, well, they shouldn't have been married.
Also, I'm realizing in this moment that both of those characters, William and Henry, date Elliot in Scrubs.
Oh. Look at that.
So, Teddy is Grey's Anatomy's Elliot Reed.
Interesting. Does Elliot, do they have specialties in Scrubs?
They don't. No, because Elliot and JD are both, like, they're medicinal doctors, as to where Turk goes into surgery.
I see.
So they don't go that far. They just have both, and then they have a nurse, and then they have, you know, Dr. Cox, and then the chief of medicine. So they don't have... They have a chief of surgery. I gotta rewatch Scrubs. Man, that show is so good. So anyways, I like that they had that scene. It was very awkward, but it shows that Teddy's like trying to get back out there, and she's not letting the old ball and chain hold her down.
He's clearly like aware that she's doing it.
Yeah, which is very funny. I want to circle back to that end scene with them because it's a very funny Henry scene. But yeah, like they get to spend a lot of time together, and then Oliver codes inside of the scanner, and that's what prompts all of this shit. So give us through the chain of events after that.
So there's lots of Oliver being like, can I go? And lots of like, your tests are almost good, but I'm a little concerned. So we're going to do another one. So that keeps happening. They're like, you're probably at the least you're going to be late for this game. So sorry. And then, so she flags down Teddy, she gets a consult, and Teddy's like, okay, we need to run a CT to confirm before we do anything. And then they get the CT back right as Teddy's about to leave with William. And that's when, he's coding. No, they get a different test result back, and then he's coding, and she pages Teddy. They get him back because he flatlines, and they get him back after shocking him a couple times and giving him some epi, Teddy gets there and it's like, okay, we're going to have to, this is when we have to go. And they're like, oh, prep an OR. And they're like, we don't have one. And Meredith gives up Nathan's OR again, which like, it sucks, but it is the right call. Like,
totally.
And then, that's when they get in the elevator. They're like, there's no time to scrub. We're just going to go. So they are taking off jewelry, putting their hair up, putting on scrub caps. Hand sanitizer is all they can do. Get in there, gown and glove. Teddy's like, it doesn't have to look pretty. We just have to cut this man open. And then she's like already cutting and they like tap her to put the booties over her heels, which is like queen status.
Seriously. Who was it? Was it Matt? No, Maddie. Who was it that said that that was their favorite character?
May have been Maddie.
Was it Maddie? Shout out to whoever said that was Teddy was their favorite character.
Yeah. And so, yeah, a good Teddy scene. And unfortunately, it does end poorly because he doesn't make it. And Meredith is, I mean, he is bleeding everywhere. He's bleeding out of his nose, his ears. Like, every bag attached to him is filled with blood. They, like, cannot replenish it at the rate of which he is dispensing it. His aorta is, to quote Teddy, in shreds. So that's just not what you want, because those are pretty important. So unfortunately he doesn't make it, and it's very hard for Meredith to call it. After Teddy's like, you have to call it, she really stands there for a long time, as though she's just like, maybe if I don't, he'll just be alive. Which is interesting, and I don't know really, why do you think this one is so hard for Meredith?
I think there's a couple of things. Number one, there's a kid involved.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, and they're trying to have a kid, and I think that doesn't help the situation. Number two, we have now seen multiple times someone comes in for something seemingly so small. Routine, even, and they die. This guy came in for heartburn of the sneeze. She even says, this guy came in for heartburn, and 45 minutes later, he's dead. Mm-hmm. So I think those paired together, on top of like, she was running the ER.
Yeah.
Because like, she feels responsible for that because maybe that she was the captain of the ship, and you know. But then like this also, I think it's a very poignant thing to see. Every other person in the hospital was with someone. Migraine guy was with his girlfriend, even though that we'll get to that in a second. Nathan was with his parents. The two drunk dudes were together. Mm. Oliver's all by himself.
Yeah.
Oliver can't even get to his kid to take him to the game. He dies alone. That, I don't know if that is like part of why she's so emotional, but that to me is like very, like that stood out to me. Like, this guy is alone. So I don't know. There's a lot going on there. It's just a shit, sad storyline, but it's really like, this is really just incredible writing. I knew that this guy had to die, but yeah. When they're going through and they're in the elevator, they very much make it clear these are real stakes. These stakes are high. This is intense. This is what's going to happen. The music is intense. Everything about this is intense. The little details of, again, putting the booties on over the heels. She didn't even get out of heels. Like, this is wild. Yeah. And then for it to end the way it did, and it was probably I think 15 seconds real time, which is probably, it feels like a lifetime of dead, nothing TV,
yeah,
where there's no comment. Like, I think it was like 10, 15 seconds where Meredith just looks and she can't bring herself to call the time of death. So, that was, it doesn't help that she also is getting injected with fertility hormones.
Yeah. Also, I do think we have to remember that everything that we've seen has happened in less than an hour. That's a lot of shit for her to have thrown at her in a very short period of time. So she's like, obviously her job in general is a high stress situation, but like this specifically, there's just like, incoming, handling patients. The chief is mad. Like, Lexi almost let that guy having a stroke leave. She caught that. Like, it's just back to back things. And then, so for that to be the one that ends poorly just sucks.
And then on top of that, too, like, this I think mirrors how she probably feels with the pregnancy thing, is she's powerless. Mm-hmm. That you can't control the aortic dissection. You can't control how quickly that goes. And to have those odds, even when you catch it, I think with the field of medicine specifically, there's a powerlessness that is tough to wrap your mind around because you can control so many things. And also, like, from a human standpoint, there's someone that I work with who's going through the 12 steps of sobriety. And I did not know this, but the first step is, the number one of 12 is, you need to acknowledge that you're powerless. And that's, I think, what's going on in this scene, is there's just a very big, she was doing so good controlling and pulling all the strings of the ER until she wasn't. And that sucks.
Yeah. And it's not anything she did or didn't do. It just is the way that it played out.
Yeah.
It sucks. Oh, I hate it. I hate when she makes that call at the end. I just hate it when she's trying not to cry.
Yeah. That sucked. That was very sad.
Yeah. Womp womp.
And then after that, Teddy now has to just go on this date with William. And Henry does bring a little bit of comedic timing to this.
Yeah. He's like, let me give you the lowdown. Because I just talked to this guy for an hour, and he fucking sucks. He's like, he wears driving gloves. So let's...
Red flag.
And then... God, wait, hold on. He didn't tell me any story where he wasn't the hero. And then he immediately comes over and is like, don't worry, I saved the day.
Yeah. He said he used the word shan't unironically. He lived with his mom, but not really. He lived above his mom. And then he goes, as your husband, we can do better.
I know. I love that line. That's so funny.
But Henry is better looking than William.
Well, yes, correct.
Henry's attractive. He's an attractive man.
Agreed. So much. He's probably the hottest guy on Scandal.
I think I would agree with that. Sorry. Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
Yeah. Hotter than Fitz.
Yeah, he was... so did I tell you I did a transatlantic Barbenheimer coming back from...
Yes, you did.
I don't know if I mentioned that on the podcast, but I did the Barbie movie and Oppenheimer coming back from Spain, back to back. I did not raw dog it. You people out there are monsters. Get your shit together. Take that time and be productive, people. You're in a tube in the sky. Do something worthwhile, like Barbenheimer. Barbie movie was great. 10 out of 10. Oppenheimer was just okay. 7 out of 10. Although you do see Florence Pugh's boobies.
All right. Well,
and I did not know that.
When you follow up your rating of Barbie by saying that, it kind of feels like maybe you didn't grasp the importance of Barbie.
I didn't grasp the importance of Barbie.
That's not surprising to me.
I said I did.
Oh, well, but then you followed it up by saying, and then you see Florence Pugh's boobies, which makes me feel like you didn't grasp the importance.
No, I was surprised. I was on an airplane. Kids could have seen my screen.
Why do you think it's rated R?
I didn't know it was rated. I thought it was because of the death. That is the implied death of the atomic bomb.
The implication of death doesn't mean you have to rate a movie R. I just have to let you know that.
Well, either way, I was not expecting to see nude breasts in the movie Oppenheimer. But I finally got to watch, what's her name? America Ferrera's Barbie scene.
Mm-hmm.
Her speech. Such a great movie.
So true.
All right. Anyways, we have to talk about one more thing. What?
And they didn't give them an Oscar. Anyways, I'm not bitter about it.
It's okay.
Okay. What do we have to talk about?
Migraine guy.
Yeah.
And the his dude with the knife in his head.
Sucks.
The dude with the knife in his head. We haven't even talked about that guy yet.
Yeah, let's talk about migraine guy first. Lexi All right. is off her game. They don't really delve into that. They just say, Lexi, what the fuck? And then she's like, I just thought he was fine. And that's it. So Lexi treats this guy for a migraine, then lets him leave. Meredith is like signing off on the discharge paperwork and notices that his intake signature is a signature and his discharge signature is chicken scratch. And not in the way that if you have bad handwriting, it's a chicken scratch. It's in like, it looked like they gave a chicken a pen and they were like, walk across this piece of paper. And so luckily she catches it like a singular moment after he's walked out the door. So she's able to run to the parking lot, find him, confirms he's having a stroke, gets him down on the ground, gets the gurney out. They catch it in time that he can have like the clot busting medicine. So ultimately it's a good prognosis. The whole time he's there in the ER before this, the girlfriend's bitching. Then as soon as they're like, get him in to have a stroke, she's like, what if he had been driving me in the car? Bitch.
Yeah, let's make this all about you. The poor guy is dying. Like,
he's actively in the middle of a stroke and you're making this about you. And then she's like, do I have to cancel my trip to Aspen?
Yeah, and on a like, scale of 1 to 10. Yeah, fucking cancel it, lady.
Yeah, and then he's like, bitch, cancel all our trips. Why am I even with you? Get out of here before you give me another stroke.
But wait. Give I'm me so my sorry. Key. Let me see the keys. Okay, yeah. Now you can march now the, get the F out of here. And Lexi's yeah. just, she gets to be fly on the wall in that conversation.
Yeah, she's vibing. She's like, yeah, bitch, get out.
Obviously, it all ends good. But, you know, here's the thing. I don't know enough about this because Lexi says that she, I mean, I don't think she's so off her game that she becomes a terrible doctor, but
yeah, it's I feel like it's unclear like what happened because she is defensive, but Meredith is still like, well, you're at fault. So it I do feel like it's not clear like if Lexi didn't notice or like just, I don't know. Because Lexi's defense is like, well, I did all these things and everything was fine. And he's had migraines before. So I won't say that Lexi is off her game. I will say that there is a point where they try and portray it as that. But she obviously says that it's not the case. So I don't really know what, at the end of the day, we're meant to believe as far as that goes. But
also, who's the person who is looking at the discharge paperwork? Did they not look to just be like, oh, that's a pretty handwriting?
I think it's
nice.
Meredith. I think Meredith has to sign off on it after the guy signs it because she's like running the ER. But wouldn't Lexi also have looked at it? Like,
I guess, yeah.
I don't know.
Who does he give the paper to? He doesn't just leave it on the desk and then it's just, who does he give the paper to?
No idea.
Strokes are scary. Listen. This episode tackles a lot of things that are core fears of mine. I cannot imagine being in the car and getting a stroke while driving. Or imagine you have an aortic dissection or it is heartburn, and then all of a sudden you're dead 45 minutes later and you're in the car. What if you're driving around your kids?
Yeah.
This is scary stuff. The life of a human is a ticking time bomb of scariness.
Mm-hmm. Take the pictures, guys. Take the picture, take the trip.
Live your life. Take the picture, take the trip. Listen to the podcast. Do it all.
Yeah. So true. Anyways.
I'm glad that guy, he 2 years.
I am
glad
that he stood up for himself. Yeah. I don't know what her deal is. Like, why are you so selfish, bitch? Damn. God.
Yeah. And you could see she like for a second there was like, oh, why does he want my keys? Oh, he wants me back. I mean, look at me. Hair flip.
Yeah. I was like, you're not. Why do you think you're so great?
Yeah.
Like, go be spoiled somewhere else.
Yeah, you turd butt. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. She was not, I did not enjoy her as a person.
No. What do you think? Take a break?
Yeah.
All right. Sponsors, maybe? Take it away. And we are back. Sponsors, maybe? Thank you. So two drunk dudes walk into a hospital.
So funny. They were at a tailgate party. Things got out of hand. For some reason, someone picked up a steak knife and put it in someone's skull, which feels like an overreaction. Cannot imagine anything that would prompt someone to say that to me other than, I'm about to kill you, with sincerity. That would maybe make me stab them in the head. In self-defense. Maybe.
Correct.
So,
or unprovoked with me just in the room next to you.
Depends. I would probably have been provoked by something you said. So he just, but they walk in, he's fine. They're super trashed. Like, they see no level of seriousness in this injury. Everyone is fascinated. Like, let's see, it has mental faculties. They're fine. They're doing, like, he's doing well. And they're like, Christine is asking him all these math questions. He's like, I don't know that because I'm drunk. And the guy's like, the other, his friend's like, no, it's because you're dumb, which is definitely us.
Yeah.
That's fine. But it, I guess the way it went in, it didn't hit any brain matter. It didn't hit any veins. It basically just like, I thought it was like between skin and skull, but then they were saying they made it seem like it was more than that somehow. I don't know. Like, it was unclear to me.
Yeah. I also was very confused by that. And additionally, I just can't imagine the human body in this scenario, a drunk human person being able to get enough torque and maximum, like reaching maximum mm-hmm. velocity that a knife punctures through the skull, the cranium. And when he's like doing the eyebrow thing and it's moving, that to me leads that it's in the muscles, because if it's in the skull, the skull seems like it's locking it in place.
Yeah.
I'm confused by the physics of this scene.
Yeah,
this storyline.
I don't feel like it was made very clear. However,
if you out there are a physicist / doctor, or if you have two,
or if you are this man,
yeah, let us know via email.
I think. Okay, so they're debating like what needs to be done, right? Mark's like, we have to fully do a craniotomy, and Jackson's like, I don't feel that we do need to do that. And Mark makes a smart ass remark, and Lexi stands up for Jackson, and Jackson's like, yeah. And also,
that's what I meant.
But also basketball. And so they're like debating, going back and forth. They wait for Derek to come down to clear everything. And then they're like, oh, we got to do this and this and this. And like, just make sure it doesn't get infected, since there's no, you know, risk for injury as far as brain goes. We just got to make sure we got him on antibiotics and like do a safe extraction, and then like just make sure the wound is clear and all this stuff. And while they're debating this, you can see them in the background like goofing around, and then the friend just yanks it out. And I, that scene in particular was the one that I thought was shot really well, because like they're just in the background, and if you aren't paying attention at first, you might not notice it. And then he just like bangs on the glass, and he's like, can we go now? And it's like waving a knife around. Like, these people are so annoying, but it is funny.
Yeah.
But it's annoying.
Yeah. Also the context, because basically I think that's one of the scenes where Hunt is there, and he's like, basically, as long as it stays in there, we are totally fine.
Yeah. Immediately then, yanked out.
Yeah. Gosh. That was a very funny. Also, the fact that none of them sprinted in there, they just stared and watched. They just, crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy. And then Derek comes in the next scene. He's like, oh, where's this knife? And they're like, it's over there.
Yeah, no longer a problem, Derek. Also, when Mark is like examining it and the drunk friend keeps trying to touch it, and he's like swatting his hand away. So funny. So funny.
It's a funny, it's a comedic storyline in general that I like.
Yeah.
And you know, Jackson gets to be the one who discharges him, and he's like, hey,
he does leave against medical advice. So Jackson is like, please call me if you start to have any issues, please. 'Cause they like, don't want him to leave. because they don't know like long-term ramifications what it could look like. And so they go and they figure out like they're gonna let them leave, right? AMA. And so he gives them the thing with all of the information. He's like, these are all the symptoms you need to look at. This is the care you need to do. And they're like, okay, we're going to basketball. We're so trash. Also that they keep pulling beer. Like, where are they pulling the beer from?
Also, they drive away.
No, did they're in a cab.
Okay. All right.
They were
I missed that part.
In the back of the cab. Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm like, how sober did they get in 45 minutes? These dudes were blackout borderline.
If anything is going to sober you up, it's got to be a knife in the head, though.
You hope.
Yeah. And so.
Have you ever had a truly sobering moment while drunk? I don't think I ever have.
Yes. Just thinking, will I tell this story? And now you have asked. So I will. Oh. When I was in college, I was at a party. And I like walked downstairs to get something and I was definitely drunk. And I walked into a room and saw one of my friends making out with someone who A, I hated, and B, was not her boyfriend.
Oh.
And I was like, well, not drunk anymore.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had something that was so jarring.
That would definitely be the one that I could think of for me.
Yeah.
I didn't love that.
So I think about this a lot. I'm not going to talk about who this person is, but I have a person in my life.
That's me.
No.
Okay. It's who, Jessica.
Also, no. I will eliminate two people from this list. Also, I will eliminate both Jessica and your husbands. Okay? This isn't like a secret closeted case about me. No, there's someone in my life who has been experimenting with a lot of drugs. Cocaine, shrooms. Oh. And they were like, they had explained that they had a really weird trip and luckily they were with friends and in a safe space. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's the kind of stuff that really scares me of like either bad trips or like a bad high and, like the people who end up killing themselves on a really bad trip or, you know, you've heard those horror stories where they accidentally commit suicide because they were tripping out on something and didn't know reality. That stuff is scary. And you think about even alcohol, like stuff, the inhibitions you have, a dude got a knife through his head. Anything can happen. So the moral of the story is be responsible, be safe.
Be mindful.
If you are doing.
Very demure, very mindful.
Yes. We here at the Grey's Academy podcast do strive to be very demure and very mindful.
See how we have a podcast? Very demure. Mm-hmm. See how we have these tumblers? Very mindful. Very cutesy.
See how we're best friends? Very demure. Mm. Yes. Yes.
See how we don't pick sides? Very annoying. So,
there's a couple of sides we've picked, but...
Yeah, not this time.
Not in these four walls. And I think everything is back to normal.
Is it? I don't feel that way. We can talk off.
No?
There. It's fine.
Okay.
Wait, what were we talking about? Very demure. What were we talking about?
Yes. The knife people. In the head. And being safe. Be safe with your drugs. Be mindful with your safe spaces and your drugs.
I'm sure that I have told this story before. I definitely to you. I don't know if I've told it on the podcast. Probably. But I had in between when I did my CP and when I went back to Disney, I was like working just odd jobs to like get cash dollars. I realize now this is sounding like I'm a drug dealer, but it wasn't that. I worked with a company that went to like music festivals and they sold... funnel cakes and corn dogs. And so that's how I got to go to Bonnaroo for free when Paul McCartney was there.
Wait, I did not know this.
Yes, I've told you that before. That's where I saw Paul McCartney. Yeah.
Oh.
That was the only time I've ever seen him. It was
at
Bonnaroo.
You're right. Yes.
Anyway, so one of the other festivals I went to was Electric Forest in Michigan.
Which is
very cool. It's an EDM festival. Which is not like music that I seek out to listen to, but all the performances I saw were great. It's really cool the way it's set up because you kind of walk through this forest and they have amazing art installations like in the forest, right? So like different lights and like all this like really trippy stuff. And a lot of people there do drugs. That's your business. A lot of them, I feel like, were more seasoned in it. There was definitely someone there. It had never... done mushrooms before. Actually, it may have been acid. It was either mushrooms or acid. it was, in my opinion, like the least possible controlled environment you could be in. You're outside, totally. You're in a forest, you're in your house. Like, it was just so many things. And like, again, even like completely sober, those art installations are like trippy on their own because that's the, like, that's what they're designed to be. So I was working and these people are like sprinting over because their friend was doing some drug and he was having a horrible trip and he was convinced he was on fire. Convinced. And so they, multiple of the concession tent, because we were like all in a line, dumped some of our ice bags on the ground and he just had to lay on the ice until the paramedics got there because he was like so convinced he was on fire. It was terrifying. I was like, if this is,
I've never heard that story.
Enforcement for me to never do drugs. I don't know what is.
Yeah, I that stuff really freaks me out.
Yeah. Again, I also know a lot of people who in the past have done it in very controlled environments with a sober person there to like make sure they're safe. And I also had a friend who did something and they said, I think it was mushrooms, and they said that for like 6 of the 8 hours they were high, they were just laying on the kitchen floor crying because they thought, so when the flooring changed from the kitchen to their living room, they were convinced it was like a 2,000 foot cliff. So they were just laying there crying, convinced they were like at an edge of a cliff. And I was like, this doesn't sound fun to me. Like, you're not making me want to do this.
Yeah. It's, I had a boss who was telling me about this. This is one of my first jobs. He's like, I did mushrooms the other day. And I just
casual.
Yeah.
Humble brag.
Yeah. And this was so long ago that you could actually go to the static option on your TV. And he's like, yeah, I just did mushrooms and I stared at the static option on my TV for 10 hours. And I'm like, that doesn't,
what a great use of time. Like,
that was not demure and not mindful.
Not very demure, but yeah. So cutesy.
Just so cutesy. And I'm like, dude, you're not, again, not making a case for it. Don't feel like this is what I want to do.
You know, this is a bad advertisement for it. Anyways, so
there's
these
two
guys
specific.
Are luckily, okay. In my truth, they leave and still are fine. Maybe the next day go back to make sure that like everything's healing up correctly.
Yeah. Excuse me. There's two things that I want to call out that are in my notes that I don't think we talked about. Was number one, when Meredith and Christina are talking and they're going to see the knife in the head guy, Christina uses the nickname Butcher Block.
Yes. Hilarious.
Wow. Wow. So funny. And then back to the Bailey and Eli thing. So there,
oh, yeah,
he's like,
talk about that much.
He's like openly courting her and convincing her to go to the room. There is one scene where Meredith catches up with Bailey and she's like, hey, Dr. Bailey. And she's like, I'm just getting a nap, dude. What? What do you
That's
want?
That's all people ever do in these rooms. That's all I'm going to do.
Yeah, that was very funny. Again, a good comedy there. And then when they come out of the room and, or no, when they're going into the room, and Bailey's like flustered and it's Meredith walks away and she's like, I don't, and then Eli just opens the door and then she just puts her head down and goes, and then walks in the room. It's just funny. Like it's cute to see what he does to her, and how she makes him feel, you know, and, I hope that man doesn't break her heart. But
I
then
did
when
feel
they come
weird
out,
though, when they come out and she's like, this is never going to happen again. He's like, yeah, okay. I'm like, okay, well, you could at least pretend to be respectful.
Yeah. So I think those are the only two things that I really wanted to make sure I talked about. Oh, and then also, oh, you go ahead, because I have one more thing.
I was just going to say Jackson asking Lexi to the game, and they go together.
Yes. They're going on a train, and that train is going to the station called Pound Town.
They're smushing booties.
They're smushing booties.
Do you think
booties.
They smushed booties after the game, or do you think it's going to be some amount of episodes?
I think they might smush booties after this game. I think I'm changing. I think last episode I said heavy petting, and I quote, but I think I'm upgrading that. They're gonna do the dirty deed, and it's gonna done dirt cheap. You know what I mean?
I don't, but I believe you.
AC/DC. No.
Oh no.
Yeah. Also, the scene where. So did Henry actually play baseball professionally? Was he a pitcher? Or was he
I
just
think,
messing with
I
William?
Think, I think actually they put that in because I think that actor was a baseball player. I feel like I have looked this up before, but I will continue again. Hold on.
Because William asks Henry, and he's talking about pitching, and he's like, did you ever face off against Jeff Bagwell? And he's like, yeah, didn't go great.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah, Jeff Bagwell's like, he's a really great player. He played for the Astros. His team lost to the White Sox in a 4-game sweep in the World Series because the White Sox were the superior team that year, and they were on the road to the championship all the way. And the Astros, that was back when they were in the National League, not the American League.
Wait, he was married to Jennifer Garner.
The guy who plays Henry?
Yeah.
That's wild.
For 3 years, from 2000 to 2003, they were married.
Wow. Is that before Ben Affleck?
Yeah, this is, yeah.
Wow. So she dumped him for Ben Affleck.
Well, I don't know that that's what happened.
That's my truth.
I guess he didn't. I must be thinking of someone else because it doesn't say anything on here about him playing baseball. Maybe I made that up.
Well, either way, that was a funny story.
Oh, he also directed 3 episodes of Scandal. I didn't realize that.
Oh. Do we have any Patreon questions?
Yes, we do.
And were there any other notes that you wanted to make sure were put in?
I think we covered everything that I had, but let me pull up the Patreon questions. Okay, just general predictions about Adele and what you think we will be seeing from her in the future.
I'm concerned that they're opening up the teasers of her having dementia or Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wouldn't have thought anything about it until Weber got so defensive.
Yeah.
Something, he knows something. Something is up.
And then how long do you think Bailey and Eli will continue to be together?
I don't know. Obviously.
What?
I have no idea. I think at least through this season, at least through season 7.
Okay.
That's all I've gotten me right now.
Alex and Lucy, you said they're just, do you think Alex and Lucy will be together?
Yeah, they're gonna get married and make babies.
Okay. What do you think of? We kind of touched on this, but not in depth. What do you think about the structure from this episode and how it's so different from regular Grey's episodes?
I like it. I do like the structure. It, like I said, it didn't lend itself to working super cohesively for my notes, but it was a good episode. You'll hear my exact thoughts on it once we do the rating, but. Or not exact thoughts, but like exactly where it lands on my scale of 1 to 5. I really had a good time with it. And I don't think I can say this enough. That scene from the elevator, all for Oliver's surgery, the prep into it, like all the action shots they did, just like from a cinematography standpoint, I was on edge. I was really vibing with that scene.
Zoe specifically said, on a scale from 1 to 1 billion, how much badass fucking woman power was the scene with Teddy and Meredith in the elevator going into the OR?
Dude, 1 billion plus 1. It was so cool. I think the way that they made it so different with Meredith was clearly in the hospital all day. She was had that scrub cap on. Teddy was out the door and came back in.
Yeah.
She changed for her date and came back in. Just so cool. And they could have... What I like about the where the show is at right now is you have more... Oh, no, it's even, isn't it? You have as many women in power, quote-unquote, as you do men. You have equal women and male attendings, 3 to 3.
Mm-hmm. Well...
No, you've got...
Did they say Callie's the head of ortho? Because we have Arizona isn't the head of PEDS anymore. She was, but now Stark is.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then Teddy is. And then I don't know if they've said that Callie is or isn't, honestly.
And Lucy's just interim?
Lucy is just a pediatric surgeon. They have not specified that she's anything beyond that. But they are. Bailey, there are a lot of. Yeah, Bailey's.
She's attending general surgery?
She is an attending for general, but I don't know if she has another title or anything like that.
Well, either way, I like that there's a lot of symmetry to it.
Yeah.
And they could have put a male in there.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Hold on. What was? Oh, the predictions on the Henry and Teddy and Teddy's dating life dynamic.
There's no cure for Henry. So I don't know. Because I don't see a long-term future with them. I have a hard time with it, but I do feel like there's chemistry. There's clearly chemistry. But I don't know. I think Teddy, she's going to have to go through a couple of bad dates, and I think William's maybe going to start falling for her a little bit. I don't know. That one, I need more. I need like one or two more episodes where they're actually getting to spend some time together before I can make that prediction. But I actually am rooting for Teddy and Henry, but it's tough because Henry's going to die. Henry dies. He's going to die. Death upon him. Sad, but true.
From his illness or from
yes.
falling off a cliff or
a really bad acid
catching
trip.
On fire. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's gonna he'll you know die to his sickness.
Do you think Meredith accomplished her goal of showing she has chief resident potential?
Yeah. I think she
did it really well.
When she was like, "We gotta listen. This is tough. I feel bad for this kid. We gotta bump that OR. We gotta get him
that."
In here.
And then again, I do find it to be unclear the whole like Lexi situation, but I felt the way that she approached Lexi, she handled well because she was like, "Hey, is something going on? Because like I know that you know these signs. Like, why do you think this happened?" Like, she wasn't yelling, she wasn't like belittling her. I felt that she handled it as like an authority figure well, to just kind of be like, "Just so you know, like this happened. We've taken care of it, but like you should be aware that you missed this."
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely, very interesting. Very interesting she did a good job, I think, overall. I don't know if it locks her in, but I do think it shows that she was able to flex in a unique way.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, again, I said this, all of them have high pressure, high stress jobs, but running the ER like that is a different level of stress just because it's so much like, and it's so much that you're dealing with, and also trying to figure out how to delegate and who to delegate and if it's even possible, if there's even anyone to delegate to. And so
it's a million moving parts.
That's so true. And then we kind of got into this, but thoughts on Meredith telling Christina she has to decline the baby godmother. Fucking weird.
I don't actually feel like Meredith did tell her that. I think Christina just made a choice. And I don't know if Christina thought that she was doing like the friend choice or if she felt there was an implication, but I don't really feel like Meredith gave her an ultimatum. I think she was expressing her feelings.
Yeah.
With no justification. There was like, she was very clear. This is all in my head, but yeah, I didn't really feel like Meredith made her take that choice. I think Christina just made it.
But even if that's true, her saying, "I'm going to go have a really uncomfortable conversation with Callie," don't you think Meredith should have been like, "No, that's not what I'm saying. You don't need to do that. I just want you to know where my head's at."
Yes.
I feel like Meredith was the one that was planting the seed in Christina's head. That was like, I mean, first of all, initially she says, "You have to say no to that."
Oh, yeah.
And then later on, when she has the... you know, the revelation of like the how I'm feeling, she then is still like, "Yeah, go say no to that." So I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm not upset about Meredith. I don't think Meredith was pressuring her, but I don't think Meredith was encouraging her. She didn't encourage her to not do it. She didn't encourage Christina to not have the tough conversation. But I don't think Meredith pressured her to have the tough conversation. Does that make sense? She could have been more actively against Christina turning down the godparent
I
thing,
think
and she wasn't.
She wanted from the get-go Christina to say no, and I think yes, she told her the reason why, but I still think that that's what she wanted.
It is.
I don't think there was ever a time when she was like, I'm not gonna have Christina say no to this.
Yeah, it's manipulative regardless, and I don't like manipulation, so it's not a good feeling.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts.
Okay, so those were all the Patreon questions, so do you want to give this a ranking?
Yes. I'm giving this episode a 4.8.
Okay.
I really, really like this episode. I like the pace. I like the stakes. You take a risk killing a very likable patient, and I like those risks. Cool having the breakup kind of conclusion to the migraine surgery situation. It opens up question marks about Richard and Adele. It gives you some good Alex vibes. Creates kind of a unique storyline situation with Jackson and Lexi. They did a lot in this episode. They did a lot in this episode, and I like it. I don't think it was a 5. I don't think this is one of my all-time favorite episodes, but I very thoroughly enjoyed it, especially that elevator scene and the quick Oliver scene, surgery.
Yeah. I think it's like a 4.6 for me. It just, like, the whole, like, lack of clarity just around a couple things is where I'm like, I just wish this was more clear, and that to me would have made it like a higher ranking, but... The thing with Lexi's patient, just like the lack of clarity on if she missed something or if it truly was like a fluke. And then the thing with Christina and Meredith and the godparent situation, again, like the fact that you and I are reading something so different to me says that like it is a very unclear story point. And so for me, that's just kind of where it loses. But yeah, the acting is great. The writing is great. The storylines are lovely. The execution of the episode is great. Like just the rapid fire, like you can feel the high stakes, the stress of the ER environment, like from the beginning. And I think they serve those plot points well, specifically again, with like going into Oliver's surgery and like how quickly everything escalates with that. And it is a different structure, but I think they do it really, really well. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Sorry. What was your rating again? One more time?
4.6.
We're very close.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
What else do you think? Is there anything else we need to do, or we feel pretty good with this? I know we're about to go do.
Were there any other predictions? So you did Lexi and Jackson. I think previously you had said that Meredith was gonna be pregnant by the end of the season. Is that what you said?
I think so. I still feel that. I still feel like she's gonna be pregnant by the end of the season. And I am enjoying watching her and Derek get excited about the prospect of having a kid.
Let's see, you did Alex and Lucy. Do you have anything for Callie and Arizona and Mark and Bebe?
No, but very quiet episode on anything related to that.
Yeah,
because even
when
Callie
really
came
wasn't
in,
a lot of furthering established plot points. I think it was really a lot of like just showing where everyone's at right now.
Yeah. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But I want to see more next episode. I want to see more of that storyline because it's funny.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's probably it then. So thank you guys so much for listening. Very demure of you to listen. Very mindful.
Very mindful of you to share this on your Instagram pages. Thank you.
Very mindful to not give spoilies. Thank you so much. You can email us mindfully at graysacademypod@gmail.com. You can message me on Instagram. You can join our Patreon and get on our Discord and chat with us there. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all so much. And we'll see you all in the next one.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.